Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. This show is traditionally aired every Sunday night at 8:55 Pacific Time, and we hope that we will regularly have the privilege of your company then. We will discuss in great detail today the concepts needed to understand the transfiguration that takes place during our ascension. We may even touch on, as we've done many times, on the fact that the Earth and the cosmos has been in a massive ascension. And so we will not keep you any longer. We have with us Paul St. John, and he has compiled some excellent questions, I hear. So, Paul, very much welcome, and thank you for the trouble you take. And please, would you fire away and start right in with anything you want to know?
Thank you, Almeen. I will. Last week we talked about, we actually left the audience with a meditation exercise. You helped explain the expansion of our awareness to perceiving our identity as being a consciousness superimposed over all that is. And that is the exercise that you describe in the Ring of Truth. That is basically the initial exercise for integrating the emotional frequencies that you talk about, the pure emotions of Mother's being. And that exercise is part of the preparation for being initiated into Bel Vospita. And I was wondering if you could start today's show by explaining and describing a little bit about what Bel Vospita is and how it came to you. I think that would be very helpful for all the listeners.
Yes. I was in Ireland with the Ascended Masters there. There's a group of physical Ascended Masters that have, in fact, brought forward through a time tunnel from ancient Egypt the information of white, incorruptible magic that has been left for this day and age by Isis. They've also assisted me in translating a set of records that is called The Doors, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. And this Sacred Order of the White Rose had me there as their guest, and they are opening these meetings that I have with them up, and we call them classes, for want of a better word, but you are very welcome there, and they will even assist you if you can't afford enough of, you know, quite everything to get there and so on, that they will even help by putting you up sometimes in some of their homes. I think the next meeting there is in May of 2008, but it is always posted on our website at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Every time I am with them, massive events happen that are life-changing for everyone here on Earth. So the first part of it was that in that May, I hadn't slept very well for multiple nights, and I was looking forward to a good night's sleep. But at 5 o'clock in the class, well, actually, let me tell you the night preceding. In the night preceding, for those of you that have been listening to the other shows, I was sent by the Mother of All Life, in whose capacity I have been a messenger and being sent to do much work daily. In fact, I would estimate it's between 4 to 6 hours minimum a day that I work in Mother's service. And I was sent by her to cut off the power that is the energy behind multiple healing modalities, symbols, and techniques. When I asked her why, She said, this night, the polarity will change. And when the polarity changes, diseased and healing energies, which are opposite energies, will no longer attract one another. They will, in fact, repel. Well, the repelling of healing energies is, in fact, what disease is, because healing energies is all around us. Because in the infinite mother's being, we dwell and have our existence, and all that she is perfection. So that those little infinitesimal rays of awareness everywhere tend to want to restore everything to perfection, which is what healing is. But if we resist it, then diseased frequencies tend to manifest. Even though, as we have pointed out multiple times in the last few shows, the real part of disease was removed when the beings representing illusion that would not change their roles when the opportunity was given and all illusion was solved were done away with. So cosmic disease as a reality changed. So the point is, though, that you can still produce frequencies that simulate it, even though the real portion of it as a cosmic reality is removed. So the repelling of this life force giving awareness that flows through everything would have been caused when a healer sends healing energies, it would have been repelled. She did not want well-meaning energy healers that work with various modalities that have that as a symbol to in any way inadvertently cause disease. So she sent me to do that. After that had been completed, I found myself standing in the middle of a forest, having no idea how I got there, because I thought I was in one of the hotels at Dublin Airport. But found myself in a forest. Suddenly, all the trees in the forest shook themselves, and it was as though the spirit inside the tree turned to face 180 degrees the opposite way. And this phenomenal feeling of cheer went through, like I could hear voices cheering throughout the forest. And I said, Mother, what is happening? And she said, this is the joy, because the dark ages are now over. And so the next day, I went back to the masters. Many of them were masters in various modalities. And, you know, they asked the question I knew they would ask, Almeen, what does this massive change in the cosmos mean for our healing modalities? And I had to tell them, unfortunately, they are not going to work. You know, and many of them earn their income that way. So I said, I'm sorry, they're not going to work. And they said, what would work? I said, I don't know. But I know that anything based on light and frequency will now work, whereas it didn't before, because light and frequency now has opposites attracting. Well, the next instant, I saw a group of butterflies fly in through the window, but I knew they were spirits because they flew in through the pane of glass. They flew in and flew across this grandmaster's shoulder that had asked me this in terms of her healing modality, flew right into my forehead. I went to the board. I started immediately on the flip chart that we had there to write down as fast as I could what I was hearing and seeing. But it was 5 o'clock and our meeting ended at about 15 minutes past five, half past five. And I went to the hotel room. I continued writing until 7 the next morning. The result was this Bell Vaspata, healing of the heart, a sacred modality that heals with light and frequency. And this healing modality is a gift from the Creator Goddess to the cosmic races to accommodate the changing laws of physics that took place as all of life ascended into a new creation in August of 2006. So that's how I received it, Paul.
That's such an amazing story, Almeen. Thank you for sharing that with us. Could you talk a little bit about, I know that Bell Vaspata works with what you call sigils, as opposed to symbols. Would you be able to explain the difference to our listeners?
Yes, I can. Do you happen to remember which book it is in that we gave a very detailed?
Yes, it's in The Ring of Truth. In there's a whole section in The Ring of Truth about Belvaspata, and the description of sigils and how they differ from symbols is in there, as well as how one can self-initiate into Belvaspata.
Great. Okay, so I will give a summary, but if they want more detailed information, then they know where to go. So to familiarize ourselves with the power of Belvaspata and its sigils, we must, of course, understand that difference, as you mentioned here, between symbols and sigils in order to properly understand and utilize them as they're given in the book, for instance, The Ring of Truth. A symbol represents something, whereas a sigil describes something. In a nutshell, that's what we're dealing with. So when someone sees a BMW or a Mercedes symbol, it represents upper middle class vehicles of quality and distinction. On the other hand, the symbol for a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, you know, represents elite vehicles that speak of a privileged lifestyle of dignity and wealth. So much is deduced just from one symbol. A Rolls Royce evokes images of walled estates, chauffeurs, enough and accustomed money, as opposed to the symbol of a Ferrari, which speaks of maybe more playboyish, more flamboyant type of taste. So whereas symbols are common in our everyday world, the use of sigils has been virtually forgotten. Even in mystery schools, their hidden knowledge eludes most mystics. But throughout the cosmos, all beings of expanded awareness utilize sigils, and only a few less brain-oriented races use symbols, and those primarily in alphabets. The reason is this. See, if we use the word love, we have combined four symbols. Those are the letters, and they represent something, right? They represent certain sounds,
right,
to make one symbol, the word that represents a feeling. But love is one of the building blocks of the cosmos. You know, it can be an attitude when it's perception and emotionally based. It can represent the emotion of love, and then emotion always has a component of desire and many other dysfunctionalities and degrees of need we mistakenly call love. So as you can see, I mean, the symbol or word can be very misleading, since what it represents to one may not be what it represents to another. But the sigil for love describes the quality or the frequency of what is meant. It maps out the exact frequency of that emotion. So the sigil for someone's name would do the same. As the person or being rises in frequency, the sigil will change to reflect that. In the case of angels, even their names change. That is why the angel names or the goddess names have changed as the cosmos and earth have been ascending since the beginning of 2005. And so that, you know, their names have changed to a higher frequency. And, you know, we discussed this a little bit in Journey of the Heart of God on page 56, and also in Secrets of the Higher Realms, how goddess names and angel names have changed. When a person has accomplished a major task within the cosmos pertaining to the agreement they made with the infinite, they also receive a meaning with its accompanying sigil. When a being is called to do a task meant for the highest good, that being will come if you have its name and its meaning. The being absolutely must come if, in addition, you have the sigil for the name and the meaning. So having someone's sigil is like having that person's phone number. Sigils not only describe what they represent, but are a means to communicate with what they represent. So, you know, if we look at the significance of the sigils of Belvaspatar, if all other healing modalities are having their healing energy and their symbols meant to produce healing energy repulsed, they are in fact producing the opposite of what's intended, but because disease is distorted energy, as we've explained. But these sigils that have been given in Belvaspatar call in the beings that then produce light and love to the exact areas where it is the most needed. So Belvaspatar is really a healing modality that works with angels, and very, very recently they have been given 9 goddesses to work with as well, very recently.
Wow. So the sigil...
So sorry to interrupt. Could you hold that question for a moment?
Absolutely.
It's time for our break.
Sure.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. My name is Almeen, and I am so delighted that you are with us today. And we have Paul that is going to ask us about the healing modality that we started discussing in the first section of our program today, that is a gift from the Mother Goddess of Creation. And so, Paul, any further questions on that one?
Oh, I think that this is a topic we can talk about at length, Almeen. It's so fascinating, and I know so many of the masters who attend your classes are really experiencing profound results with this healing modality. So I'd like to just ask a few more questions about it.
Oh, you know what? Before you do that, do you happen to have handy that fax that came through this morning from one of the masters in Ireland about her sigil?
Let me just take a look here.
Because I think that is, without a doubt, the best explanation we can give to somebody about how complex the power, the layers of information, which is light, is when it is contained within a sigil.
Absolutely. And I do have it here.
Fabulous. Would you mind just reading it, the whole
sure.
thing?
Sure. And it was interesting, too, because this relates to one of my questions, which was whether, because you mentioned sigils are applicable for angels, and I was going to ask if people have, human beings can have sigils that represent them as well. And this seems to answer that question. I understand, this is in regards to a personal sigil.
Well, yes, this letter is written from one of the immortal masters in Ireland. So, you know, the sigil is coded with incredible information because she has indeed accomplished a meaning in her life, meaning that she's fulfilled, overcoming the ego as part of her contract. Everyone does have a sigil that would be very empowering. The issue, though, is that what the masters in Ireland have is, as a personal sigil might be a little more complex than somebody that is still just sort of new to everything, hasn't quite found their path. So, but yes, everybody can.
Well, thank you, Amin. I will, I'll share what this master from Ireland wrote to you this morning about her sigil. Dear Almeen, I thought this might interest you. I photocopied the sigil you gave me at the pod at the class in November just so I could have a copy of it, and I decided also to scan it into my computer. As I write this, I can feel a pull on my heart, and also the light in my living room is changing, as though switching on and off, or at least becoming darker and lighter. Anyways, instead of printing the copy appeared on my computer, a small box appeared with a series of letters, O-E-A-I, and all sorts of squiggles and symbols, some that looked a little bit like apples. I tried to print it out, but the pages added up to 1,058 before I canceled the print, and it still hadn't finished. Completely amazing. Thank you. I have no idea what any of this means, but as they say in Ireland, I'm completely flabbergasted.
See, that her computer in some way was showing her how much information there is in one single solitary sigil.
Yeah.
And it was, it actually enlivened the computer enough to give it a brain for that time, so to speak. It didn't just copy it like a fax machine would, you know, or a copier. The sigil itself empowered the machine enough that it started to give information beyond its capacities.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, Almeen, now, are sigils also used for other things within Belvaspata? I know that they represent the meanings of angels and goddesses. Are there also sigils for other things?
Yes, there are. When a healer heals, there are actual healing symbols as well. And for instance, if we just take a look at sigils, I should call them, there are healing sigils. For instance, if we look at, there are 16 rays of light that an initiate or an adept would work with in Belvaspata. And so the 16 rays of light, there's the root of light, which is always used in conjunction with the others. There's a specific sigil that would be used for that. There's a sigil for faith. And there are lords associated with these sigils of light. So, for instance, the Lord's name, who is the Lord of Faith, is Belblut Vak Veshpi. There's a sigil for balance. These are rays of light qualities. And the Lord's name is Kluch Enuvit. Lord Petre Vuspi is for abundance. Now, for instance, you know, for balance, this is what you would use for ears and throat and nose. The faith one you would use for systemic illness. And abundance would be for the prostate or the rectum area and so forth. So they're used for specific body parts, and the sigils themselves call in the lords and that specific quality for those body parts. Like there's a Lord Plu Akbar, and the sigil for that ray of light is diversity, that ray. The sigil is for DNA, chromosomes, and for memory. So there are 16 of those, and then there are multiple ones for other diseases, and there are emotional pairs that have these sigils as well. There are also initiation sigils, and some of the initiation sigils are also used, for instance, for the second level, the adept level of Belvaspata, there is for instance, the sigil of sanctification, or there's one for attracting light into the voice, or if somebody wants to be a healer, there is one that you can help them with to become that by attracting healing frequencies into the hands. And so if you have that, you have the angel that works with that, which is Kru Echna Vilshpreva, and that angel is called by its own sigil, and the sigil itself that attracts the healing frequencies is to be drawn three times over each hand. Now, you can do that when you initiate. You can also just use it when you have already been initiated into this level to assist others for specific areas of their life. So there's for initiation, there are frequency-based ones, there are light-based ones, and they are to be used in healing modalities.
Wow, there's lots.
Yes. I mean,
and they're beautiful. I know from looking.
Aren't they wonderful?
Yeah, I know from using them myself that they are very powerful and just beautiful to look at.
Now, in the Ring of Truth Ball, we've got more sigils than that, too. We have sigils. Mother asked me to prepare, I believe it was 10,000 sigils of the angels around Mother's throne. I had to produce 10,000, but each one had a name and each one had a meaning. So a total of 20,000 sigils, and the names had to be done in one language and the meanings in another, because the meanings would change as the angels around the throne did their work. The angels around the throne refer to the angels that are mentioned. There are 10,000, and then there are 10 times 10,000 in two layers, if you will, around the throne of God, which is Mother's spouse and her first creation, and herself, which is omitted, of course, by the old Catholic fathers. But that is mentioned in Revelations. Well, it was so phenomenal. We produced, I mean, possibly about 100 or so of those sigils just so that people could see them, because they're that holy. And then we have the first 21 lords of the 300 that serve the Holy Mother. They are phenomenal. I mean, can you imagine having those around your home or in your sanctuary? They're just beautiful, and those are very complex sigils that those beings have in three different languages.
Yes, they are very wonderful tools, and just, yes, like you said, amazing to have around your home even.
Yes.
And something that is interesting, too, is that some of them you call in the being by just looking at them, and other ones you trace, which I always enjoy tracing them.
Yes, exactly.
Another thing I found really fascinating with this is that how this modality helps you see how certain body parts and certain illnesses relate to particular light rays and particular frequencies, and that's I think that really helps people see what you know, to see the physical on a deeper level. I was actually wondering if you might be able to, you did give a few correlations of some of the light rays and body parts. I was wondering if you could maybe give a few more, and also maybe give some descriptions of the light rays, because they're new light rays, and they're some of them anyways, and I find them very fascinating.
Yes, of course. Well, we mentioned faith as, you know, dealing with systemic illnesses. And if you take a look at faith, this ray is new, as you're pointing out. And the reason for that is that the nature of faith has changed for this creation. And up until August of 2006, when many of these laws changed, light did not move. Frequency moved. Then when it reversed, that changed. Now light is moving, tracing divine geometry, which we give a section on sacred geometry in Journey to the Heart of God, as being the true geometry of the cosmos, not our platonic solids, which locks in illusion. But formerly, it was a mindset that recreated itself. So in other words, the most prevalent and dominant thoughts ended up creating our environment. Because our thoughts were generally chaotic, we created chaotic conditions on Earth. So, you know, the mind was not always pure. But the new creations don't come through thought, but through the heart. We create through love, praise, and gratitude, a way that prevents us from creating more chaos. So faith as a way to create our reality has to therefore reflect this change. And the new way to understand faith would be as the conscious creation of reality through an attitude of love. Envision how you would like to live life and flood the images with love and praise and gratitude that such joyous manifestations can be yours. And I will explain just very briefly about balance, and then we'll take a quick break for commercials. The light ray of balance represents the essence of what the Mayans call movement and measure. Balance is not static, but rather consists of the dynamic movement between expanding boundaries and contracting boundaries. So, in other words, it moves between positive, which is proactive, and negative poles, which is receptive, within existence, always pulling them slightly further apart. As an example, a balanced life pulses between beingness and doingness. The deeper we enter into the peace of our being, the more we can accomplish with our actions, our doingness. In this way, both our passive and proactive aspects are strengthened and enhanced. And in these deepening pulsations lies the expansion and the growth of the being. We are right back in a few minutes. We just have a few commercials.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we are discussing the moving rays of light and how they are utilized as a cosmic principle within the wonderful gift of the mother to humanity, which is Bell Vaspata. And Paul, what is the Bell Vaspata website so folks can go there and examine this a little carefully?
It's www.bellvaspata.com. It's spelled B-E-L-V-A-S-P-A-T-A. Theta.
All right. And let's just examine maybe one or two more of these rays of light, and then we're ready for your next question. And abundance is always a good one, and we've already mentioned that it's used, the sigil for abundance of the Lord Petre Vusbi is the one that comes when you work with that sigil, is for the prostate area and the rectum area, anything to do with that area of the body. So abundance, if we take a look at what it means, the true meaning of it has been given a new significance by the beautiful and uplifting purpose of our new existence, creation through the heart. Before August of 2006, when these polarities changed, the purpose of life was to change the unknown into the known through experience, and often that experience was painful and opposition-based. Now growth is to come through support. Before, we sort of hoped that life would deliver abundance. Now we are limited only by how large we can dream and how much love we can pour into these dreams and visions. While doing this, we continue to broadcast heartfelt gratitude throughout the cosmos for what we want. Increase doesn't occur where there's an absence of gratitude for present gifts. Conversely, whatever we're grateful for increases. So generosity increases supply as well. If we truly understand that we are co-creators of our realities, then our supply has no limit. In giving, we simply open the sluices of manifestation a little wider. If we have love, praise, and gratitude, we open it wider still, clustering awareness into manifesting our created realities. So, perhaps one more, do you think?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, why don't we do wisdom, which is the Lord Gel Viveshbi, and it deals with the pineal gland and the hypothalamus. And so wisdom is a principle which people have called wisdom as applied knowledge. Previously, we had to interpret principles that lay hidden within the illusion of the former cycle of existence. But now, all illusion has been solved, and the new creation lies before us like a pristine and uncharted land. What knowledge is there to apply? Well, the knowledge that needs to be interpreted through our lives is the knowledge of self we see mirrored within those of like energy which we are now fortunate enough to pull into our environment. Previously, we pulled in opposite energies, not very comfortable. So in them we see ourselves and learn about what we are. And learning by observing those energies in others, we become more of what we are and find new ways of applying them in our lives. So that would be an example of that. Did you want to go on to something else then?
Yeah, I think that gives people a good sense of the light rays, and I believe there's 16 of them described in the Ring of Truth.
That's right. Yes, we have them there.
Do you, at this point, know, I know it's been changing over the past month as the cosmos has been ascending extremely rapidly, but at this point, do you have a sense of how many light rays there actually are?
Boy, I do. And hold on a second, because Mother told me this was maybe a week and a half ago she told me this. Hold on a second. Six? 96 rays total.
Mm.
And they are in clusters of eight.
Wow.
12 clusters of eight.
Wow, that's a lot of light rays.
Yes.
Do you think you'll tackle explaining or describing those all in some future book of yours?
No, because basically what is necessary, unlike before when they were very separated, there's more to this than meets the eye. The nature of light changed a few days ago, incredibly much. And Don on the station had a large part in that. He told us that he saw light differently from other people. And our station manager. And that night when I was doing Mother's business, I asked her whether the way he saw it is the way eventually light would be. And she said, it's time. And so it was written in the book that light did now no longer function the way it used to function. Because the way it used to function where exactly what Don had said to us during a discussion in break, that we saw everything in the past tense, and in fact we heard everything in the past tense because it took time for light to travel to our eye, for sound to travel to our ear. So we were always hearing it a few moments ago. And Mother changed this, and it was as a result of the conversation and the questions that I then asked her. She made it exponential and fractal, and I don't know what that means, but that's what I was told. But what I saw as a symbol for her to explain this to me is a tube of marbles. You push one, it can be 60 miles long, but it's filled with marbles. You push one marble in on this end, immediately a marble falls out on the other end. It doesn't take time for that to travel through the tube, no matter how long it is. So there's immediate light now, and there's immediate tone. I know that altogether, the 96 rays combine into one light ray that makes exaltation.
Ah, yes, I remember you sharing that with a class in December.
Yes. And now light has changed yet again, and I'm not familiar with exactly what that means yet.
Wow. It's so amazing to hear about how dynamic the growth of the cosmos actually is.
Yes. See, it's always in the densest level where the known and the unknown meet. So that's why we are very much able to raise issues that the mother then incorporates very much, because humanity is the densest level there is. So we're going to access the most new information.
Right. That gives whole new meaning to human existence, I find. A lot of people...
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, especially for the masses who generally consider human life to be insignificant in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
Very much not the case.
Yeah.
Well, Almia, I was wondering if you could actually give some examples of Mother's language. I know you have in the past show, past shows. It might have been, in fact, in the last show. But particularly as it relates to Belvaspata, I know there are some self-initiations in the book, The Ring of Truth, and they use Mother's language for that initiation. Could you talk about that?
Yes, they do. In fact, it's the most amazing thing, because we actually give, and was permitted to give, Mother's alphabet. Now, whatever you write in Mother's alphabet happens. So, you know, she actually gave us statements in her language that are 100 affirmations, that if you say them in her language or you write them in her language, even more powerful to write and say them in her language, it will change life around you, and it's incorruptible. You know, she gave these 100 statements, which she called, let me see, the Book of Awareness. And it's in the Ring of Truth, some of the most sacred scripture on earth is what this is. She said, 100 affirmations I give you, their sacredness known but to a few. The profane will see them as worthy of naught, but you alone will know their import. Say them in service, say them aright. Through them you spread your love and your light. Pelech vi nuspi, pelech virar, yelshpi var tru anok, urvi blanadar, pers pranu uinak, urvastana vabir, keo ura nureshpi, klanuk varahir. Renuch Palespi Uhurut Manadoch Bel Uvra Uvrestra Uret Panaroch Mir Abelstravi Kelenustra Struva Besh Uvi Herspavi Kelnun Hustar Granoch Paleski Uhuret Parnava De Urva Dananoch Uret Nun Herva Uruhesh Nun Her Trevabi Skleruski Paranut Yelkek Vra Uvraset Pelech Vraspa Urut. So that's how that translates. And this is mother's language that was used during ascension, during the fall. So, you know, the cycles of the fall.
I think that might be something that's helpful to actually elaborate on a little bit, because not many people, I think, are aware that the fall you refer to is the larger perspective on the fall, where there were ascension and descension cycles within it.
Massive cycles of life in which Mother attempted to get her creations that she had made real, to get them out of the flat TV screen into reality. And at times we would be in descension and then we would be in ascension, trying each time to break free. Now, Paul, the ascension and descension cycles took place in what can be described as a box. The box had in there the earth, and the earth is the center point in the middle of the box. And then there are six points surrounding it. Well, the earth in the middle of the box is in fact a portal. That's why the earth has been such a key player in the ascension of the cosmos. It's a time-space portal. And it opens into a tunnel that leads to the projector that's projecting the box out there in virtual reality. I only started to speak the language of the projector of the original earth, where Mother projected this box from, if you will, in her being, so that she could create within it. But I only a few days started to speak the original earth. The earth we're at, if you look at a line on a piece of paper with a dot on either end, the one is the projector, the other is the projected image. Everything to do with the cycles, every language I've spoken of Mother, which there's two now. I've had brief encounters, and you'll find it in The Gift of the Unicorns, of the language that of the fall itself, but during the descension cycles. But I didn't ever get fluent in it. But the ascension cycles and what lay into the vast box itself is what I gave them last week. I just started to speak the language of Mother from the original, real earth that is projecting this box that we have been in. And the reason is that for the first time I've been sent to work with it. There were things there that there's Mother's making big preparations. It's time for us to go home.
Wow. Do you think it's possible to share some of that language on air? I know you've just received it, so I don't know if you're able to.
Well,
but
I hope so. I hope so. I haven't used it extensively, but I will certainly try. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we'll do that.
Almine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation.
Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And we have but a few minutes left of our show, and so what Paul has asked me to do, and Paul, by the way, thank you. Very excellent questions today. So appreciate your help.
My pleasure.
So there's a brand new language that I have just learned that deal with realms at least three levels of light above the highest light that could be encountered within our cosmos. And it is the mother of all creation's language that she and her first creation, which is the Father, actually speak. So let me give this to you. Terek benat urharak ne'esteh bil ik netvarak per navibruk na'arat persplanak vuskla harak verber eklit na'arat uruk. Bin haratna erek neveres, pilik uharna vivak. Pelsh prarukna peret arak minhar blu uvastek parakna asta bel etrit min hur nan hersut. All previous scriptures fulfilled have been. Time has ceased to be. Now is the moment to bring forth new scripture. Scripture that speaks about renewal that has taken place throughout all life. A way has been created to inform man what the unseen realms already know, that reality is now governed by new laws. Pusprahrak buurnet iknavar biste puuklutna varashba ureknete uhah manit nunharas barak. Those laws promise a fulfilling, enriching, empowering and determinative life, rich in joyous moments and fresh in newfound innocence. Vistana vivik, pal aruk nedret, bin harastutna vra, bel sparakna ver, etru uhurukna aratvi, pel eheresta, minhur blavakba vaspavi. The good news must be shared. The earth must be told that the one grand being of which we are part had made this earth her footstool. Ishtahna harastene minharpla unuspavi kenhet ut ahnavrap ette minhuk la'arashta nechbana vivik ba'ulut. Here on this little speck in the sky, the most glorious light of all existence has come. New planets will gather around the earth, bringing their suns with them. Pinhirit aratna urus, pelvispa harakna este, uklaharach vinharek be'ete min ukla mispa'uhuhne estetve var'a bil'ustra benhesh pra'usnavar. When the veil is finally lifted, it will reveal to man what all other beings already know, that a new configuration of stars have formed and the scripture has been fulfilled. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This is Revelations 21, verse 1. Beloved ones, it is time for us to close our show. Thank you for being with us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.